Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene, and I'm Wole, and I'm your host. We are waiting on the homie Karita Parks. If you don't know, now you know. Karita Parks is CEO of Double Take Sports and 3-Point Conversion Washington Commanders reporter. So you gotta check her out. She's dope. She'll be on shortly. She got, you know, had to do some things, but she'll be on eventually. I didn't mention we are also part of Empire Media. That's AmpireMedia.com. Would have had the show done on Tuesday, but I wasn't feeling too well. Would have had, you know, would love to have the homies with us to do Thursday show, but they couldn't make it. So it was working on my time. You know, I'm typically like the producer, director type of thing. So had to make it happen for yours truly. But first off, man, RIP Takeoff, man. You heard, you know, from Migos, Takeoff, you know, was shot and killed. So RIP to Takeoff, man. It's just, it's crazy, man. This world is dangerous out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know who's going to be safe. You know, especially, I mean, I feel like, you know, when you have money, you got to move different because, you know, people out here, man, they hunting for you. But, yeah, that's just, it's wild, man, what times we live in. Well, young brother at 28, you know what I mean, 28 years old, lost his life and, you know, made millions of dollars, successful, you know, generational wealth. And, you know, because of a dice game, you know, somebody wanted to, you know, pop off and like, take this dude's life, man. It's just, it's wild, man. Again, it's wild with the days we live in. But, again, man, prayers to his family. Prayer to his friends. Prayer to the Migos, you know, his homies. They done this. They been in the game doing big things, man. That's a brotherhood, man. So, prayers to them as well. All right, man. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. So you can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Hey, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Hey, click like, subscribe, like a bunch of videos, man. I'm serious, bro. We trying to get these videos up there, man. I'm trying to monetize this whole thing. So the more you subscribe to our YouTube channel and the more you like our videos, man, you know, you're supporting the grind. And I know a lot of y'all support us. So that's just a way to support us without even, you know, forking over cash, man. This is free support. That's all we're looking for anyway. Hey, this show can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in the local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Hey, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. And you can also check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of our Urban Sports Scene versus Football Garbage Time Challenge. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, but I'll say it for him. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about Daniel Snyder. Excuse me, I messed this up, though. I'm sorry. We'll talk about Washington Commanders beating the Colts and Daniel Snyder possibly selling the team and their upcoming game against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. At 8:25, we'll talk about the tough stretch of basketball games for the Washington Wizards. Finally, the World Series between the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros. Talk Nats. Kevin Nibley will jump on the show to talk about the World Series with us. Hey, Karita, you are on now. I'm glad to have you on. Karita, what's going on?
Oh, Karita, hold on.
No matter of fact, we're going to go on break. When we come back from break, we'll have Karita back on.
You know, young rich niggas. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money, though.
Hey!
Raindrops,
drop top,
smoking on cooking the hot pot,
cooking,
fucking on your bitch, yeah, that, cooking up dope in the crock
pot.
We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
I don't trust nobody, grip the trigger,
nobody.
Call up the gang and they come and get
gang.
Cry me a river, give you a tissue.
Bad and bad.
All right, let's do this again. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Bo Lay. We also have Karita Parks on the line. Hey, Karita, what is good?
What's up?
Okay, the world hears you now. We're good now. We're back in business, man. We're back in business.
It's good to be heard.
I know, man. I was like, what am I doing? I'm like, what am I doing right now? So, Karita, we're going right into the Commander segment. Like, we're in here now. You know what I mean? I already did the intro and whatnot. So, Karita, yesterday was lit, man. We found out that Washington Commander's owner, Daniel Snyder, hired Bank of America to possibly help sell the team. Then we had ESPN break the story that the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Eastern District of Virginia has opened a criminal investigation into allegations that the Commanders engaged in financial improprieties. So, for you, like, do you think this is it? Are we getting Snyder out of here? Like, is this going on?
It seems that way, but I can never say never with that man, right?
Yeah.
So I'm more like, this is definitely seems way more definitive than things that I have seen in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I'll believe it when I see it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was news today talking about all the people who are interested in buying the team.
Yeah.
I will say, he is in a situation, probably in one of the more dire situations he's been in,
uh-huh.
in the sense of, you know, you think back to when, with the name change,
uh-huh.
like he was getting so much heat, sponsors were dropping off, and I don't know if they ever hopped back on or not,
uh-huh.
but sponsors were dropping off, so that's money lost. So it put him in a position to where he had to be like, you know, he said he would never change the name, but that money talk, right?
Yeah, that money talk. That money real.
Exactly. And then now he said he would never sell the team. But if you think about this investigation,
mm-hmm.
that sounds pretty real. It just a lot that has been going on where like his wife has had to be the face of the team because of all the allegations.
She getting booed. Then,
right, he's getting booed. You got the owners meeting where the owners is coming for him harder than I think I've seen them. Ever come for him. So there's a lot of circumstances that I don't think he's necessarily faced
yeah.
that are at play at this point. So I do see this as one of the more serious moves he's made as far as potentially selling the team. It seems pretty real.
Yeah,
but like I said, you just never know.
No, I agree. I think you never really know, but I think this is as real as he gets, right? I just think that
exactly.
at this point in time, usually when he sends out a statement, like the team sent a statement out yesterday about
mm-hmm.
you know the bank of Bank of America helping them
explore all options.
Usually, you know,
all options.
Yeah. Usually, he will dead it and be like, I ain't selling the team in a statement like that. He ain't dead it. Like, so
nope.
let me know, like, all right, he about that life. Like, something about to happen. Like, and then all of a sudden,
then
all of a sudden the ESPN thing drops. And I'm like, oh, snap. And, like, the first thing I thought to myself was like, oh, yeah, he getting ahead of this. Like, he getting ahead of this. Not that, like,
yes,
I feel like.
Now, when that dropped.
Yeah.
When that dropped. So, first of all, to your point, the fact that news came out and then the fact that the team actually entertained it with a statement
yeah.
let me know it was real.
It's real, exactly.
Right. But when that story dropped from ESPN, it was the same thing. It was like, oh, yo, this might be real for real because he's trying to get out of this.
Yeah, he's trying to get ahead. Like, I don't think when you see a criminal investigation, I don't think it's bad enough for him to, like, go to jail or anything like that or, you know, penalties wouldn't be something he sweats, but I do think it's enough collateral for like the owners to vote him out. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I know he's probably thinking like, yo, I'm gonna get this bag. Like this team worth 5.6. I ain't playing with it. I know I'm not giving y'all a chance to vote me out and I don't get the money that I should be getting.
Don't get nothing.
Yeah, I'm getting this bag on this squad. Like, I'm getting, this is high. Like, if I go out and y'all vote me out, I'm not going to make as much. I'm going to make more now if I sell it, you know, if I sell them. So I just feel like
yeah.
he had a point
well,
where.
Also, but, I mean, yeah, but also to the point about money, like, we don't know what, like, how much financial support the team is getting these days,
yeah.
right? Like, a lot has changed. There's been a lot of controversy. So when you think about that, and then what you just said, it probably is a financial decision. Like, Dan Snyder gonna make his money.
He'll get the, yo, if they worth $5.6 billion, he getting his money. Like,
right.
if they come for me, I ain't gonna lie, they coming for me. And if the press is bad, and you know momentum is coming, like, you know what momentum is, right? You like, you know, like, all right, this ain't looking good. Like, you gotta do probability. If you're a gambler, you on the dice, you gotta know, like, all right, you got, like, you if you hit a, you know, your spot is like a 4 or a 10, chances are you ain't gonna get that number. But you can keep, you hope you can keep rolling, maybe you'll get something else. He like, all right, you know what? My chances are slim. I got this $5.6 billion though. I got a good chance. I can make some off of this. I can do something with this. So I just feel like this is probably it. Like, this is the best chance. If you're a Washington fan, this is the best chance, man.
But what is wild to me, because, you know, I am from Florida.
Yeah.
So I don't have the same, like, emotional attachment as people who have lived here all their lives yeah. or whatever.
Like me.
So it was really very funny and kind of interesting to see the timeline go crazy. And, like, even when you turn the TV on, it was like special news reports. So I'm like, God.
Oh, serious. I mean, I tell y'all, like, this team is real in, over here, man. People haven't, like, I'm 41, so I always tell, like me growing up, I feel bad for the younger fans. Like, I do. Like, I feel bad for y'all. Like, me growing up, like, it wasn't that this team, it was never about, will this team make the playoffs? That was never a thing. Like, this team always made the playoffs, like, when I was younger. It wasn't like, will they make the playoffs? The thing was, will they go to the bowl? Like, will they compete for a Super Bowl? Like, that's what it was. It was never about, will they make the playoffs? Like, they were perennial playoff performers. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were there. So, like, so to see the drop, so when, you know, when the owner prior, Jack Kent Cook, he passed and decided to not give his son all autonomy and ownership of the squad, like, he did some petty thing or whatever. Then it opened the door for Daniel Snyder to take over. And all of it, from that point on, this team has been, like, dysfunctional. So, and it's wild. Like, I even tell folks, like, initially, I ain't have a problem with Snyder. Like, I keep it 100. Like, I ain't going to lie. I was, like, he was a diehard, at that time, a diehard Redskins fan. So what it was that what he did was, if you were a kid and you see Deion Sanders on the market, like, yo, Deion Sanders, the best player. You're going to get Deion Sanders. That's what he did. If you see, like, Albert Haynesworth at the time, he's the best player. I'm going to get Albert Haynesworth. Like, was he a smart football person? Nah, but he was a fan. So I understood his moves. Like, I'm not going to be that person that sits here and be like, early Daniel Snyder, I didn't understand his moves. Like, I did, because I was a diehard Redskins fan. So I was going to do that. Like, I would do that. It's like you're playing a video game, and the best players out there on the market. Like, if Aaron Donald's on the market, you're going to try to get Aaron Donald, right? That's what Daniel Snyder was about. Like, he was going to open the bag for Aaron Donald. I was like, damn, this dude is, like, he cutthroat. Like, his bank account is real. So, like, I ain't had a problem with him in the beginning. But then he started being extra. When you start getting extra, you're losing it, bro. Just don't be extra.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I feel like, again, to me, it's great that it is happening. Because I just, where this franchise is now, I would have never imagined it, for real. Like, if you told me, if you said 10-year-old, 15-year-old me would be like, yo, this team is one of the worst organizations in football, I would have never have thought that. I'm serious. Like, so it's amazing to me. But I'm gonna go to another question for you, Karita. All right.
Mm-hmm.
With all this, you know, the stuff with ownership, what does this mean for Coach Rivera?
Well, you know, when you get new, it's just like corporate America, right? Mm-hmm. When you get new leadership, new ownership, it's a blank slate.
Yep.
They make whatever decisions they want to make. So Will I say, do I know if they would decide to part ways with Ron Rivera? I don't. But what I do know is that it's a strong possibility because they may want to, you know, start their own regime, have their own hand in who the coach is and or just who the decision makers are. Even if they're not making a decision about the coach, they might, they're going to want to put their stamp on the team. And with Ron Rivera, his record so far hasn't been good. So it's not like there's a strong argument right now for why a new ownership group wouldn't make a change.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I agree. On Twitter, my man Steve said, no chance of that clowns. This clown stays as head coach and pseudo general manager. This team has regressed since you arrived. Suck as a coach and worse as a player evaluator. My man Steve bringing the heat, bro.
Jeez.
Bringing the heat.
I don't know if they've regressed. I feel like they've just stayed the same.
Now, you know what? I mean, I think they regressed. But I think they regressed from, I think they were better his first year compared to, you know, the year before.
Oh, well, yeah.
They got better.
Yeah.
They were better. Then they regressed last year. They regressed because it was horrible. Like, the defense was bad. And
I thought he was talking about his overall tenure because I'm like, well, yeah.
Yeah, then you look at it. I'm trying to look at, like, in this year. I guess, you know what? It's about the same. I just feel like, yeah, I just feel like it's not, yeah, it hasn't gotten better.
But that first year was definitely, I mean, the first year, what were they? What's it?
7-9.
And won the division. I mean, so they weren't, even that year, they weren't necessary. They didn't have a good record.
They're just better
than they
were last year.
It's just that everybody else didn't have.
Exactly. But they were better than, if you want to look, they were better than they were the year before. Because they were horrible the year before. So it was like that. Like, because that was Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden got fired and, you know. So,
there was a lot of stability.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, Ron made it better when he first got here. But I think after that, like, to your point, it hasn't, you know, it's probably been stagnant. I think that's the best way to say
it's
it.
Been stagnant. That's the stagnant word.
But it hasn't been great. I'm with
but I don't disagree with his, I mean,
his statement.
I mean, it was strong. It was pretty strong.
It was strong. he went with the heat. You know what I'm saying? He got real with that one. I ain't gonna lie. He got real. Real intense with that one. But I will say that I do agree with his sentiments of that. Like, and what you said, like a new owner isn't married to Ron Rivera. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like you said, his body of work hasn't been great. It's been average, right? If that, to him. I mean, average, and I guess is average the best word to use? It's been, I know it's just stagnant. It's just been stagnant. He hasn't
it
been
hasn't, anything. I don't think it's, whatever word you want to use, I don't think it's at all what they anticipated when they hired him.
Of course. And I'm like, and this is my thing, and I said this before, and I'll keep saying it. You know, the thing, the good thing for Ron was that Daniel Snyder was the owner. Like, because he was worried about PR. Like, PR was so important to Daniel Snyder that he couldn't go old Daniel Snyder and be like, you know what, you ain't doing what I thought you do. I'm going to fire you early, ASAP. He couldn't do that because that's a good bad look on Snyder, because one, Ron is one of the more likable coaches in Coach Rivera is one of the more likable coaches in the NFL. So you can't, like, if you fire him, that's another bad look on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and when
right.
you're trying to, and he's a, and you building your front off, you're building your whole front office and having, you know, bringing in diversity in your front office. Like, you're worried about doing stuff in terms of PR and not to say something people don't deserve, but that's what more you're worried about. You could tell what the move of Daniel Snyder is. Like, no, we all ain't dumb. We know what his moves are right now.
Well, at that point in time, yeah, because
yeah, it's obvious. Like, don't let's keep the buck. It's obvious.
There was worry about cheerleaders and then, like, you had the name controversy. Right. So they had to try to prove that right. we're not this terrible organization that we're being out to be.
Yeah, so when you fire Ron Rivera, then you're bringing more attention to yourself. So I think Ron Rivera knew it. He knows he's safe. That's why he can make the moves he makes. So that's why everybody, when they're like, oh, Coach Rivera's going to get fired. I'm like, are y'all serious? Like, this man ain't got all of, he got all power, and look at his resume. He got all power in this situation. And like you just said, his resume wasn't even warranted to have all that kind of power coming out of Carolina. So I'm just saying, like, what y'all think? This dude ain't getting fired. Snyder ain't trying to fire nobody. Nah, at this point in time, it's like, he ain't trying to fire nobody. He don't want that smoke.
Right.
And plus, you had this dude working hard to kind of, you know, build your brand, like kind of, you know, build the image of your squad. Nah, you don't want that. You want him to get fired and talking bad about you. You don't want that. You don't want that. So I knew that already. All right, so let's talk some actual football. We've been talking about Snyder like all day. I mean, like, I like talking football. I don't like talking, you know, owners and politics and stuff like that. I'm over that.
I mean, but with the news, it made sense.
I know, but these folks out here, man, they're going to make me talk about Snyder all day. Like, I don't care about no, never mind. I ain't going to use the word I wanted to use. All right, so Sunday, the Commanders beat the Colts 17-16. Why were the Commanders able to pull off that victory to you?
You know, I would definitely say I gotta say Taylor Heineke didn't give up.
Okay, about to say, I think I'm gonna say something real ignorant about Taylor Heineke. Well, go ahead, continue.
He didn't give up. But really, Terry McLaurin.
All right, thank you, Kira.
Taylor Heineke threw up the pass, yeah. But it was really Terry McLaurin because he went up and got that ball.
Thank you.
He was like, "You ain't like this is mine."
Yeah, exactly.
Know what I'm saying? So having that clutch wide receiver, and I mean, you still have to because Taylor Heineke could have very easily like made another mistake. He was making mistakes throughout that whole game. Uh-huh. He had 3 turnovers, I think. Prior to that play, so he could have very easily threw a bad pass, but he did not, and so it all worked out. But Terry McLaurin, he definitely deserves the praise in that situation because any other receiver, I just don't know if they would have came down with that.
Oh, I mean, you know, I like Scary Terry, like one of my favorite receivers, but you know, like Hopkins would have caught that joint, like for real talk, Hopkins would have caught that. Hopkins would have, DeAndre Hopkins would have caught that thing. Like he just
no. I meant on our team, Commanders
hell
team.
No, you're right. Hell yeah, you're right.
I don't mean in the NFL.
Oh, I apologize. You know, hell yeah, you're right. Nobody from the Commanders catching that.
Oh yeah, there's definitely other receivers in the NFL.
Folks would have been like Cam. They would have been like. So if I would say Cam Sims, I would have laughed at somebody. So I said Cam Sims would drop that thing. It's too clutch for him. It was too clutch.
Right. Moment would have been too big.
Yeah, too big. I'm with you, man. My man Eric came out on our chat. It was like Terry McLaurin's homecoming. And most definitely that was Scary Terry's homecoming. Going back to Indy. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Scary made the play. But I will say this though. So for folks who think I hate on Heineke, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm gonna give y'all some flowers because I'm about that life today. So I will say this. Watch it had to because I was at church for a long church service. I had to come back to the house and I watched the game. I had to record the game. I watched all the game like late Sunday night. So right. After watching it, and I'm not Jaren. We got long church services. So when I sat and watched it and broke down like the game, I don't think Carson Wentz wins that game. Like I will say that. Like I feel like he was getting pressure that Carson Wentz wouldn't have avoided. So I do that. To me, his legs are very valuable. Like and what he does in the pocket to get out of pressure, and I think many plays on that the game winning drive, he escaped pressure and he got the ball out to the right people. Like and they were you know good passes from the flat. He ran for first downs. Those are plays that I feel like. You know, Carson wouldn't make. So I will give him his flowers, and I think that last drive, Carson wouldn't be able to make those plays. I can say that easily. But on that last play, the play you're referring to, one, I think it was a blessing that it was short because they got to run some more clock off. So it gave them like 20, they gave the Colts 20-something seconds to work with, right? So they can run that ball in for a touchdown. So I do think that, like, by it being short, it kind of worked for Washington. But to the premise of the play, like if Taylor Heineke had an arm, like and led, that's an easy touchdown. Like that's an easy touchdown. Like but he doesn't, so it is what it is. But Scary made the play, like because he did have him beat. He had him beat, but it was underthrown. But then he had to come back because he had to come back to the ball. So since he had him beat so badly, he had Gilmore beat so badly, he was able to adjust because he could see the ball. Gilmore couldn't see because he's trailing Terry. He's worried about getting beat deep. He's worried about the ball being thrown over the top. So Scary can adjust better than Gilmore. So that's why, you know, Scary is just a talented wide receiver, one of the best wide receivers in football. Like that's
That's why you paid him that money.
I agree. That's why you're paying the money. So I feel like he made the play. I'm with you. He totally made the play. My man Eric still, he's chatting. He said Cam Sims caught the ball before McLaurin. Stop hating. No, I mean, he caught the ball. We're talking about the last play. He ain't going to make that play. I'm saying he can't make that play.
That particular play, right?
That's all I'm saying, Eric. Like, he can't make – dude, we seen him – the dude had a chance on the sideline on one of the passes. And he couldn't drag his foot on – he couldn't drag his foot right. Like, he was
going – I won't say Cam Sims wouldn't make that play, but Cam Sims, he wouldn't consistently make that play. And that's the thing with Cam Sims, and I feel like that has always been the issue, is the consistency. Like, with Terry McLaurin, you know that 9 times out of 10, he's going to make the play.
I agree. Hold on.
I feel like that's the difference.
I got to respond to this because this is naive sugar honey ice cream. Hold on. Eric, you got to stop geeking, bro. He said, these short passes happen frequently enough that I wonder if they're intentional. Them jerks are not intentional, bro. That's a lack of an arm. Don't do that. Don't do that, Eric. Don't do that. Eric, don't do that. You know them joints are not intentional. You know them joints are not intentional. You know them joints are because God didn't bless him with that kind of arm. You know this. Don't do that. He had a Rudy mentality. He thinks he can do it. He's like the little engine who could or that could, whatever that thing is anymore. I forgot. I'm getting old. I forget like all nursery rhymes and nursery stuff. But I'm telling you, like, nah, bruh. Like, that was a short pass. I'm not a hater. Haters, all of you. No, I am not. Stop it. But yeah, I praise to Taylor Heinicke. I gave him his flowers. I said Taylor Heinicke won the game, and he would have won it, and Carson wouldn't. So I'm giving him his flowers. What do you think, Karina? What about you? Do you think if Wentz was a quarterback, would he have won that game?
Not the way he was playing before he got injured.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. See? I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't playing right. All right, let's go to –
Now,
go ahead.
I was going to add one thing.
Go ahead.
I'm not getting caught up in the whole Taylor Heinicke starter type hype. I'm not getting – no. Yeah. But I do think it is true that he has a different resolve.
Yeah.
I think, like, if Carson Wentz would have got hit that much and he would have been shook for the rest of the game.
Yeah, definitely.
For the most part.
Yeah. He ain't built for it right now. I will say that. He ain't built for it right now. Those hits have gotten to him. They've gotten to him mentally. I think that Carson Wentz's arm is – and his accuracy is just, you know, better than Taylor Heinicke, to be honest with you. But I think that Taylor Heinicke just has right now more heart. And he does know the offense. It's just a fact. He does know the offense, too. He knows it better. And that's what's kind of helping him ride. But his heart is what really, you know, has this team hyped. And it's one thing I won't argue, that these players play for him. Terry McLaurin play for him, man. Like, it's the truth.
It's the truth. After the game, Green Bay, it's such a difference. So, because I don't want to, like, I want to be very clear. They have a respect for Carson Wentz, too.
Uh-huh.
It's just that there's a difference in, like, there is a difference. Yeah. With Taylor Heinicke, it's like they just love his, like, energy and, like, they want to do it. You know, it's just a different tone.
Yeah. They like a swag.
And it was very, very clear to me, especially like with Terry McLaurin. They seem like they are very close.
Yeah, they're real close. I mean, they like the swag. I mean, they like the swag.
They do.
They like everything about him. He's the dude that you can hang with. Put it that way. And he's the dude that balls. Like when I mean, balls, like not like it's like getting money balling. I'm just saying like he balls hard. Like he tries.
Right.
Like, he tries very hard. Like very hard. He tries very hard. Like I'm
absolutely.
Saying, so I'm being nice to people. Like he does. He's a trier. All right, he's a trier. There you go. Okay, for you listeners, he's a trier. See, I'm nice. I could be nice. All right, so next Sunday, Kirk Cousins is back in town to take on the Commanders. The Minnesota Vikings are 6-1. Do the Commanders have a legitimate shot in winning this game?
I mean, they definitely have a shot at winning the game. I think it's hard, like, with the Vikings having that kind of momentum, you know, they're pretty strong right now. But that doesn't mean anything. I think, you know, any given Sunday, I think it's definitely going to be one of the more challenging games. You know, Kirk Cousins is going to come in here feeling like he would want to win in front of Washington fans.
Yeah, you like that?
Exactly. So you have that layer and that aspect. But at the same time, I'm not really the biggest fan of Kirk Cousins. And I think that he could definitely be beat. So I feel like Washington, I think it's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, I know. this game.
Well, what you got to say?
I don't know. Like, this game is like, I'm so every which way about this game. I feel like Minnesota's, like, the better team. Like, they are the better team. But Kirk Cousins, like, this is the type of game where Kirk does Kirk stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
he's definitely a difference maker, in my opinion.
He's a difference maker. I feel like, you know, if Washington takes away, like, Cook, right? Because I think Dalvin Cook is, like, the option you got to take away, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. Jefferson, too. I mean, but it's so much I just don't trust Washington with. Like, they're going to F around and put – Wild Goose on Jefferson on plays. Like, you know what I mean? Jefferson's going to eat him up. Or they're going to put Jamin Davis on Jefferson on plays. Like, I don't trust, like, what they're going to do with Jefferson. Because Jefferson is not going to just stay on the outside. They move him around. So when they move him around, I'm like, so you're going to be okay with, like, Wild Goose or Jamin Davis on Jefferson? Like, yeah, really? Or are you going to be okay with, like, for real, even Kendall Fuller, like, would you be okay with Kendall Fuller on Jefferson? Like, that's, I don't know. Like, I would only, and I'm not saying, like, he's shut down, but Benjamin St. Juice would be the only dude I would have on Jefferson.
But St. Juice makes plays.
Yeah, because he's around the ball. Like, he's around the ball. Yeah, I can't. Like, I don't like this game. I don't like this game any which way. Like, I don't know why. It's like,
well, this would be the so since Heineke's been in,
this is the team.
This will be the most challenging team they've played.
Because they got to, I feel like even with Kirkisms, I feel like they're going to score like 20, they can score 20, like 27. And I want to see it. Like, look, man, I want you people to make me a Heineke believer. Like, I want to see it. I want to see Heineke do something against a squad that isn't inefficient offensively. You know what I'm saying? Like, you all have, like, been crashing Carson. And that's fine, whatever. But the games that Heineke has played in, other than, like, Carson played the Bears, he looked horrible. So I'll give you that. But the Bears are scoring much – the Bears have been scoring like crazy ever since they played Washington. But, like, I'll give you that. But I'm just saying, like, I want to see Heineke against a team that could score. And we'll see when he has to answer the bell – when they are scoring like 24, 27, early, I want to see how they can kind of do it.
This will be by far the best team that they're facing since he's been in. I don't like that they barely beat the Colts.
Yeah, they shouldn't, because it was a horrible game. But, you know, Heineke fans will tell you that, you know, he's the one. But they barely beat the Colts. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I agree with you. Like,
a win is a win, and I'm glad they won.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is my thing. Like, I don't do these, like these wins are just the
moral,
win, like, wins. I don't do these. No, I don't do this crap. Like, look, I'm pro Carson over Heineke. Like, I'll put it out there. I am, all right? But the Bears, I was so disgusted with the Bears game. You would never hear me say, like, well, Carson got a win against the Bears. Like, no, that was horrible. That was horrible football. Like, it was terrible. Like, the Green Bay game. Like, how many Heineke fans came out? Man, boy, he was great. Bruh, did you watch the first quarter? Like,
that came down to, it shouldn't have.
It shouldn't even have been close because
it came down to the wire.
It shouldn't even kept, like, dude, you then threw them you threw four interceptions that should have happened. And I would never claim that. Like, I would never claim that game. I'd be like, yo, Carson, like, trash. But they got lucky. That's what I would have told y'all. They got lucky. I wouldn't have been like, oh, he looked good. Like, no, I don't do stuff like that. Like, that's something I don't do. But, like, Heineke fans be like, yeah, I'm telling y'all. Heineke fans, y'all be crazy, man. Like, all he got to do is give you one drive. You be like, oh, my God, he's Joe Montana. Oh my God, he's like, what the hell? What are we doing here? And yeah, Eric, tell me I ain't lying. Tell me I'm lying. Y'all just do like, all he got to give you is one drive and you good. You know I'm telling the truth too. Keep it a buck. You know I'm telling the truth. All right, so this is the thing. Oh, this is a question too, because no, Kirk Cousins ain't liked a lot around this town, this side of town. This is real talk. He's not liked a lot. So if Heineke beats Kirk Cousins, right? Well, all the non-Heineke believers jump on the Heineke bandwagon, like including me. Like, but I'll start with you. Like, what do you think? I want to know your opinion, and I'll give you my answer. You know what I'm saying?
I'm never someone to jump on a bandwagon. Yeah. I would need to see. So for me, I believe that Taylor Heineke is a good backup. Like, if someone goes out for like 6-7 weeks, Heineke can win you a couple games. But to me, he's already proven
who he is, right?
Yeah. No, so
he is who he is.
I'm good. I think that he is. I do think he's a good backup, but you're not going to hear me hollering that Taylor Heineke should be the starter.
I agree. I don't even want to keep talking about Taylor Heineke. Really, I don't.
You keep getting tired of every topic when it comes to the Commanders.
I know. I don't even want to talk about Heineke anymore because it's just like it's because of him. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like these the fans make, they exhaust me. I won't even lie, because even when I try to give him his flowers, it's like I'm not really giving his flowers, and it's like a backhanded compliment. Because I ain't gonna lie, sometimes it is a backhanded compliment, but it's like I'm trying to, like, for me. I will say this though, because I do have a disdain for Kirk Cousins. I won't lie, I do too. I have a disdain for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And I feel like if Heineke can play well against Kirk Cousins, Eric, this is for you. If he could play well, and I'm not talking about these BS games too, bro. I'm talking about a real game, man. I mean, I don't want no, like, oh, he does some Heineke S sugar honey iced tea. You know what I'm saying? I don't want that crap. I think I'm playing Migos. It's cursing. If he does some Heineke shit, I don't want that crap. Like, real talk. Like, I don't need, like, that. I'm not going to own that. Like, I'm not going to own that shit. I ain't going to lie to you. But if he does some, I'm consistent, I'm driving the field consistently in the game, I'm cool with that, man. Like, I'm cool with that. My man, Man Up, 3 Deep says, Wentz making $3 million is criminal. I agree. I didn't think he should have made that much this season in anyway. I won't even lie to you. I thought that Washington made a bad mistake by trading for him. I thought they should have waited for the Colts to release him and then try to pick him up. They wanted
Well, for the money.
Yeah, I'm serious. Like, there was no reason for the Colts. Earth State didn't want him. Like, I don't even know why you're trading for him. Earth State didn't want him. Like, why would you trade for somebody Earth State didn't want? You knew he was going to get released.
They didn't want nobody to even pick him up. That's probably
nobody was picking him up. Nobody. See,
in their mind, I think they thought there would be competition.
That's the problem with Rivera. He be doing dumb shit, Carita. He be doing dumb shit. Like, some problem with him. Like,
but what other quarterback do you? I mean, because obviously they weren't going to lean on a quarterback from the draft.
Yeah.
What other quarterback do you think?
I wouldn't have had a problem getting Carson. I just would have waited until he got
released. Just not traded. Yeah.
Yeah. I just would have got. I would have got a quarterback.
They were desperate though. They were desperate.
Stupid. That's what I'm saying. Rivera is dumb. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I remember talking to my brother. Once I heard the news, I was like, why did they trade for him? Like, he was getting cut. Like, and who wanted Carson? Like, real
yeah,
talk.
Yeah, after that Jaguars game.
Yeah, you know you a Jaguar. You know this. Like, real, be honest with you. Who wanted him out of, who really wanted him? Like, out of all the teams, nobody wanted him. The Colts went and got Matt Ryan. Nobody wanted Matt Ryan like that. that's what I'm saying. Like, why would you trade for that? Like, Matt Ryan had more of a market than Carson Wentz.
They thought Matt Ryan was about to take the Colts to the top of the AFC South.
They thought that.
They did.
They thought that. They were wrong. They going Ellinger. They were wrong. My man Eric says, Ursay is in the Commanders news lately. The Wentz Olive Rest didn't work. Oh, all right, yeah. Conspiracy theory. Could be. Oh, that could be a conspiracy theory. Who cares? Ursa a dumbass too. I think they all stupid. I don't like Jim Ursa either. I'm like, I don't even know how people follow. See, I got so much I'm gonna get off my chest. Like, I don't know why people even bump with Ursa now. I know that he's like pulled like the whole Daniel Snyder thing, but I'm like, dude, we talking about a dude ain't incredible either. Like, we talk about a non-credible person
focus on getting his team together.
Yeah, right, talking about another dude. I'm like, what are we doing here? And now we're Earth Safe for President. I was like, dang. Yeah, like Daniel Snyder's Hitler. Shoot, y'all the worst. Like, I know he's horrible. He ain't great, but good God. Like, Ursa ain't the one to be happy about. You know what I'm saying? Like, this Ursa thing, man. We love Ursa too much. I'm telling you. I'm going to work right now. I don't have time for breaks. We kind of rolling right now. We rolling. All right, Kareem, we're going with the Wizards now. All right. The Washington Wizards. I think they had a tough stretch of games, man, for real. Celtics.
Yes.
They split with the Sixers. To you, what are your thoughts after seeing the Wizards go up against all those potential Eastern Conference contenders? Like, where are they at to you right now as a team?
I do still think they're, you know, figuring some things out as far as their chemistry. But what I will say I liked is, you know, after the 76ers game, that they did make the necessary adjustments and they were able to come back and beat the 76ers. I'm just thinking about, you know, last season. I don't know if the team last season would have made the adjustments and beat a team that they just played. So I do like what I saw as far as that's concerned. And for me, I'll just be honest.
Yeah, I want to hear you be honest, baby.
I don't want them to have a long losing streak. That's too much. But I'm okay with them losing a few games right now.
Why?
Because what happened is last year they were like 10-3.
I got you.
And then they just never recovered. So I'm like, okay, yeah, lose a couple games now so you stay humble. But also so you can see what your weaknesses are and try to definitely tighten up. But I will say it's very interesting to me. Like, we knew DeLon Wright was a key player defensively.
Yeah.
And once he got injured, we see it's taken them a while. That's also factoring in. It's taken them a while to adjust to him being out. And especially on defense, I mean, he's not going to solve all the defensive problems they're having. But it's very clear that he was a glue defensively, at least.
Yeah, he was up there in steals for the team. He was, for the league, I think, at the time. He's been surprising. He surprised me. I mean, I know he's talented. I've watched him, you know, him being the younger brother of, you're a Miami Heat fan, the younger brother of Darrell Wright. I knew he was talented. You know, he was a guy that I felt like, you know, and he played in Toronto as well. But I didn't even know he would be a good fit for this team.
Yeah.
I think that for me, I'm impressed. I'm not going to lie to you. I think this is good for them to get these tough games out early. You play the Sixers split, even though you didn't see Joel Embiid, but you beat them. You know what I mean? You beat them in
And you need to. You still need that. Right.
Yeah. So and you needed that W, right, for like the just in case you get to the postseason for like matchups and seeing
right.
like, you know, the tiebreakers and whatnot. So I think it was a much needed win. The Celtics game was rough, right? That game was rough.
Yeah,
it was rough. But Celtics are
really rough.
Yeah, the Celtics have been one of the better teams this season so far in this early season. So
which makes sense. The last finals last season. Yeah. So
it makes sense. And the Wizards still got a bunch of new players. But I will say what stands out to me in this stretch of games is the effectiveness of the unicorn. Porzingis has been something.
Oh, yes.
I would argue to say that he's been the best player on the squad.
He has. And when I wrote an article that after, I forget which game, but it was one of the games. It was before the tough stretch, though, where he scored 30-plus points. Mm-hmm. And I said, Porzingis is proving to be a reliable option for the Wizards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people who probably didn't even open the article are like, well, you know, his injury and, you know, he's got to stay not injured and blah, blah, blah. And somebody was like, well, it's just a small sample size of the games. And I'm like, but no, I'm also looking at last season when Brad was out. He wasn't necessarily at the scoring the 30-plus points, but he had also just come off of an injury. Mm-hmm. However, he was still, when Brad was out, he was still holding it down.
Yeah.
and that has carried over to this season. But yeah, he is very intriguing to me to watch because he's over 7 feet tall, hitting threes, you know, hitting jumpers in the paint. Like, he's so versatile for his size to me, and effective.
No, I think he's very effective.
Hitting threes.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, to your point, I said this when they made the deal. Like, I said that if he stays healthy, and, you know, with Brad fans are going to hate me. But I said that, like, he could be better. Like, he could be the best player on the team. It's what he brings to, you know, it's just about him staying healthy. Like, this could be the best player other than, like, John Wall to Brad Beal that ever played with, for real. Like, because what he brings to the table. We're talking about a seven-footer who can shoot threes, who is not scared to bang on you.
Can
block shots, rebound. You know, he's just a skilled big. You seen him do a crossover step back three on other bigs and almost make other bigs fall. Like, this dude is very talented. There's a reason why they call him the unicorn. People forget about that stretch of games he had in New York when he was healthy, when he was looking like he can be all world. So he is that talented. It's all about him. It's his whole thing is health. You know what I'm saying? It's always been health.
Hope he holds up the entire. I do really hope he holds up to the entire season, because I do think that I say they're figuring it out, but they're still playing fairly well to be figuring it out.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that they're going to just be on the upward trajectory.
Yeah.
But key to that is definitely him staying healthy and staying in the game.
I agree. So, all right. So the next two games they got the Grizzlies. They got in the Nets. You mentioned the Nets. You'll be at the game. You'll be at the Nets game. Am I correct?
Yes, I'll be there. All
right. Cool. So, who for the Wiz needs to step up during these next two games?
I would say, and I'm saying this because he's kind of had a little, like, in the couple in the 76ers and I think even the Celtics game, Kyle Kuzma's took a step back.
Yep.
And they are most dangerous when you got Porzingis, Kuzma, and Brad on the same time. Mm-hmm. And right now they haven't all been on at the same time as of recent. But when you have them combining for like 60 points, I forget the game specifically, but one of the recent games, they combined it for like 77 points. That might have been the 76ers. Like, that's what we need to see. So I'm going to say Kyle Kuzma only because he's, for whatever reason, he's taken a slight step back. But then I'm going to also throw in Monte Morris because he has been struggling offensively for most of the games. Like, he just had 19 points, but he hadn't really been getting into double figures at all, really. But we need more like 19 point games from him, in my opinion.
Go ahead. Keep going.
So I'd like to see, it might not be every game, but I just think getting that from him a little more often would be beneficial at this point.
Yeah, I think that I'm gonna read this off on Twitter. My man Cameron Mingo, what's up, Cameron? Says on Twitter, says Kyle Kuzma, he's been on a bit of a slump over the last few games, so he agrees with you. I think to me, Kuz has to step up. Beal, obviously, because, you know, that's the guy you paid the bag to, has to step up and play at a high level, consistently, right, for you to beat those type.
Well,
of
yeah, he definitely hasn't. Been as consistent as we've seen sometimes.
Exactly, right? I'm not trying to throw any shade. I'm just being honest. Like, when you're a superstar, you're supposed to be that type of person. So he's going to have to step up. You're playing against Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving on Friday, and then you got...
Well, Kyrie just got suspended
All right, so you're Kevin Durant. You're still playing against KD. You know, you're playing against KD. Ben Simmons, who needs to get mentally right. Then you have to play against... Then you got to play against Ja Morant on Sunday, who's probably one of the best players in the game, period. So, yeah, man, you just got to – this is a tough stretch of games, but they're winnable games, right? You mentioned, like, Kyrie not being in there on Friday gives you an opportunity to get a W. You know what I'm saying? It's all about building your resume for towards the end of the season, where you know you're trying to battle for a good playoff spot. Forget this playing game shit. Like, try and get a real playoff spot. You know what I mean? Right. So I feel like this is a game that you need, that needs to happen. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that Kuz has to step up with both of you and Cameron. I think Kuz has to step up. I think Porzingis just keep doing what you're doing, because I feel like, you know, this team will be at a nice spot if they keep doing what they're doing. I love the two man game with Porzingis and Bradley Beal. I think it's deadly if you do it correctly. So if he can stay healthy, they have something there. I think the bench has to step up to play it to a point where they're consistent. Guys are knocking down shots. I want to see more out of Rui. You know, I like Rui. I want to see more out of Rui. I just feel like, you know, 10 points is cool. You know what I'm saying? But I actually have more of a respect of his game than just 10 points. I'm a guy that believes that Rui should be giving you 15 and 10, you know, even off the bench. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can rebound. He can do so many things. Like, I would like for him to stop shooting so many threes. I'm shooting threes, period, to be honest with you. I think his mid-range J is where it's at. So I just would like him to keep doing that. I know in today's NBA, you try to stretch out your fours. You know what I'm saying? But I would like Rui to be more of a mid-post player. You know what I'm saying? So, my man up three deep says Rui is such a letdown. Yeah, I mean, Rui could be good. It's just that, yeah, I've seen Rui in college. He should be much better. I'll put it that way. He should be much better. So, hopefully it happens, man.
Especially in the preseason, I definitely think the way he played in the preseason kind of gave you an expectation that he was going to carry that forward. And he definitely struggled. I mean, we're starting to see him come to life a little bit, but it hasn't been consistently either.
Yeah. I just want to do more. I think you can do more. But, Karita, before I let you – Karita, I'm about to talk baseball. I know you're going to be here. But before I let you go, let our listeners know about your podcast, your platforms, Double Take Sports, 3-Point Conversion, Triple W, Pod, Sports Illustrated.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Do I need to keep labeling, naming stuff? Should I stop? I mean, what you want me to do?
I know. You know, you try to post on social media, and, like, I always got something new.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey. But, yeah, so you can follow me on all social media platforms at Karita C. Park. Also, make sure you follow Double Take Sports for your Wizards coverage. That's at DBL Take Sports. But also, all of your sports coverage. Also, sportsillustrated.com, si.com, Inside the Wizards. You can see all of my content there as well as far as the Wizards are concerned. We got Triple W Pod at Triple W Pod. Whew. I think that's it.
All right, Karita. Well, thank you for being a guest host. We know I appreciate you. You were dope. You were amazing.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
We had a good time. Anytime, Karita. Anytime.
Always. All
right.
Always.
All right. You have a blessing, all right?
You too. All
right, bye. Hey, here we go. The World Series is tied 2-2. Matter of fact, in game 5, the Phillies and the Astros are tied 1-1. Kyle Schwarber hit a home run to tie it up. Talk Nats' Kevin Nibley will join me after break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Site for IJIS. You dig? Deuces.
You know, young rich niggas. You know, so we ain't really never had no old money. We got a whole lot of new money, though.
Hey!
Raindrop,
drip,
drop top, smoking on cooking the hot pot,
cooking,
fucking on your bitch, yeah, that, cooking up dope in the crock pot. We came from nothing to something, nigga.
Hey.
I don't trust nobody, grip the trigger,
nobody.
Call up the gang and they come and get
gang.
Cry me a river, give you a tissue.
My
bad and bougie,
bad,
cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Bah.
My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Savage.
We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
Crap.
My bitch is bad and bougie,
bad,
cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Dude.
My niggas are savage, ruthless.
Hey.
We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
Crap. All set.
Woo, 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 woo. Records on records, got backers on riding around in a
cool.
I take your bitch right from you.
You,
bitch, I'm a dog.
Woo.
Beat on her walls, loose.
Hey.
Hop in the frog. Woo.
Scream.
I tell that bitch to come for me.
Come for me.
I swear these niggas is under me.
Hey.
The hate and the devil keep jumping me. Back rows on me, keep me company.
Hey.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. And we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm your host. Will T and Ray Jeezy are out. Again, RIP Takeoff, man. 28, man. It's too early, man, to lose a life. All right, right now we have Kevin Nibley from Talking Nats on the line. What is good, Kev?
Hey, Wole. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. Just watching this World Series game. It's 1-1. World Series is tied 2-2 apiece, game 5. Astros Phillies. First, you know, we just saw yesterday, last night, we saw the first combined no-hitter ever in World Series history. Like, what are your overall or general thoughts of this series?
You know, not to be a cliche, but it's been like the kind of classic boxing, you know, heavyweight boxing match. It's one team strikes a blow and then the other team responds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of people thought going into Philadelphia and they, you know, blow them out the first game in game 3, you know, I think a lot of people thought they might, you know, continue to blow them out and win game 4 and 5. That's basically what they did to Atlanta and San Diego, you know, is they just killed them in Philly. So for the Astros and Christian Javier to come out last night and throw a combined no-hitter was quite the response. And, you know, but it's been a very good World Series. I mean, even tonight's game started off with, you know, Altuve's triple, and they knocked him in right away. And you're thinking, uh-oh, like, here comes Houston. And then, you know, Syndergaard somehow gets out of the inning and Schwarber ties it up right away. So I think this, you know, this is really shaping up to be one of those kind of classic tit for tat World Series. And, you know, it probably will go 7 games. It just has that kind of feel to it.
What's up with these Nats making big plays in the postseason, man?
I know. I was joking. It's like, you know, like I can't. I don't know, you know, as a Nats fan, it would be like if you know, you had like 4 or 5 ex-girlfriends and they all were like on TV in a tournament or something. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, it's like you're jilted as a Nats fan. But for me, it's like the people that talk Nats probably won't like this, but I've sort of been rooting for Philly only because, you know, I think I only have so much capacity in my heart to have hatred or to be annoyed at someone. And I really only have like one spot. So I think Soto and the way that all went down this year, that was like the one guy I couldn't really root for. So for Juan Soto. Yeah. So it's actually like Harper is like 3 or 4 years old. So now I'm kind of at that point with Harper as the next where I'm like, yeah, you know, we had some good times. I wish him well, you know, I moved on, you know, but yeah, so it's, and obviously I think, you know, for any Nats fan, Kyle Schwarber, even though he was here for a very short time, to meet a Nats fan who doesn't love Kyle Schwarber. So,
A lot of Nats fans love Kyle Schwarber. I think he's a guy that you can easily like. You know what I mean? He's somebody you can like. He has that infectious personality, right?
Yes.
From a distance, yeah. But he has that personality. But I kind of want to stay there when you talk about Bryce Harper, and to a point where you talk about between him and Juan Soto. I just feel like, you know, Bryce showed fans or whatnot that he kind of wanted to be here more than Juan Soto. So I think you're justified for disliking Juan. Not well, disliking. I think that may be hard. But having that type of thought process about Juan Soto compared to a Bryce Harper.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I'll never hate or dislike. I'll never hate Juan Soto.
I don't think you hate him at all.
Oh yeah, he was instrumental in winning the Nats the World Series, and I mean I'll never forget that. So, but he's definitely like, if we're comparing this to X's, he's definitely like, I don't wish harm on him, but like I don't know if I wish him well either. I'm kind of just the way that it went down this year. I mean, let's forget, like, Bryce made a circus out of his last season in DC. That was the 2018 season. He made a huge circus of. But he was going to be a free agent at the end of that season. Juan made a circus of the 2022 season, and he was still under contract for 2 more years after that. So I think, honestly, when you compare the two, you know, maybe probably at the end of the day, it's Scott Boras, you know, to blame for kind of using the same playbook with all these guys. But in hindsight, you know, what Bryce did wasn't that bad. I mean, at least he, like, played hard up until his last season, where Soto was trying to score his payday 3 years early. So, I, you know, Harper's one heck of a clutch hitter, but Harper and Schwarber, similar, when they get on heaters and are seeing the ball, I mean, they can, you know, carry teams. They can hit, you know, a home run every game in a series. You know, they can get very hot. So, you know, fortunately for the Phillies, not a lot of people had them going this far, but, you know, Harper's been hot and they have some bats. So, you know, the bats got hot and they have just enough pitching and, you know, they have a chance to be world champions, you know?
Definitely. No, for me, Harper reminds me of what, you know, when the O's had Manny, but the O's couldn't offer Manny anything to any level. Manny in Baltimore, but he wanted to be there, just they didn't have the money. They couldn't afford him. It wasn't like he didn't want to be there, just that it was the business of baseball. Bryce wanted to be in Washington. It's just that, you know, he wanted a certain amount. It was different. It wasn't like the Nats, I felt like, they really gave Soto the contract offer was good. It wasn't bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was really good. And he still said no.
Yeah.
So it shows you the extent of how bad he really wanted to be here or not. You know what I mean? That's how I look at it. That's how
I think if they would have offered Bryce, $40 million,
he would have took it.
He'd be in Washington.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Absolutely.
That's the difference. But back to the World Series, though. So arguably, so I'm going to ask this question. I'm rooting for the Astros because I've always liked Dusty. I've been a Dusty supporter. Mm-hmm. Even when he was here in D.C., thought that, you know, he did have some issues in terms of some of the clutch games. But it's like in this series, this team, I feel like the Astros could have been up 3-1 in the series. They had a 5-0 lead in game one. They squandered it.
Yeah.
So if they lose this series, is this on former Nats manager Dusty Baker and current Astros manager Dusty Baker? Is that on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to say it is. I mean, look, the series is still – we still have some games to play.
Yeah, of course,
who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, in that first game, Dusty's made some curious in the two games they've lost, they had the most damning one being in game one where they had a 5-0 lead and – he left Verlander in to give up 5 runs to tie it. And, you know, I mean, that's normally in these types of games, once a pitcher's given up around 3 runs, that's usually when you're looking to get him out. Yeah. And like sometimes things get crazy or you didn't have someone warming up or, you know, it's like some explosive inning and blah, blah, blah. You can't really get the guy out. But that wasn't the case with Verlander. He looked like, you know, it wasn't like the Phillies scored all 5 runs in one inning. I can't remember exactly how it went, but they scored 2 in one, 3 in another.
Yeah, that's how they did it.
There were signs. It wasn't like he was cruising and then all of a sudden the wheels fell off. You could tell the inning before, you know, they were starting to see him. The game one loss was bad. And then, I mean, you know, you could argue in game three, they didn't score any runs, so it wasn't Dusty's fault. But Lance McCullers gave up 5 home runs, which I believe is no single pitcher has given up 5 home runs in a World Series game.
Yeah.
And that's more on the manager than the pitcher. I mean, the reason why no single pitcher has given up 5 home runs in a World Series game is because most managers would have taken him out before the 5th home run, you know? And Dusty said, you know, people weren't ready in the bullpen, blah, blah, blah. Like Dusty said, he started off shaky, but then he settled down and then he got shaky again. But, you know, as a Nats fan can tell you, Dusty's a great manager. He's the bat whisperer. The players always hit for him, but, you know,
yes, they always hit for
him. Any fan who's ever had Dusty Baker as your manager is going to probably have a story about a time he made a bad decision with the bullpen
or left
a starting pitcher in for too long. And that's been a knock on him. And, you know, he's done it twice in the series. I don't think they would have won game three. He didn't do anything that cost them game three, but it's still curious that he left a guy in to give up 5 home runs. And obviously game one, he probably should have gotten Verlander out of there. And it'll be interesting tonight. Verlander's looking – he's looking a little shaky. I mean, still 1-1 as I'm watching it. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, will Dusty get him out of there while it's still close? Or, you know, like last inning he had the bases loaded and got out of it. You know, or will Dusty leave him in to give up a huge hit? It'll be interesting to see. But long answer to your question, but I do think that if they lose, then Dusty will probably have to answer for the pitching management, which is usually what you know, the knock on him is. So, yeah.
Yeah, especially because the Astros have a great bullpen. So I don't know why you would want to leave, you know, there's no need to
leave
your in for so long. And I'm watching, because I'm watching this game, and, you know, I've watched Justin Verlander for years. Like, one of my favorite pitchers in baseball, to be honest with you. And this ain't dominant. This isn't a dominant Justin Verlander. This isn't dominant Justin Verlander. This is just getting by Verlander. You know, he's up. He has counts 1-2, and he's walking people. And I don't care if it's Bryce.
Yep.
I don't care if it's Schorber or whatever. The Verlander who's going good, you don't get to ball three if you're down 1-2. He's knocking you out.
Yeah.
So it's not the same Verlander. So it's interesting. I'm interested to see how long he goes with Verlander. And guys are hitting the ball clean. They're just going right at they're right at infielders or right at outfielders. So I just want to see you know what Dusty's going to do in this game, because again the score dictates it's 1-1, so it's not serious, right? But it's still
this,
not
this
clean
is
Verlander.
Probably yeah. Mm-hmm. This is I'm not going to make a prediction because I do think it's like pretty even, but I will say I do feel like whoever wins tonight is. Chances are, like, if you were going to bet it,
yeah.
Whoever wins tonight's probably going to win, just because it seems to be enough of an even matchup that, you know, you wouldn't want to be in a position to have to win two in a row, regardless of where it's. I don't think the home field, I know Philly fans will probably tell you that their home field is the greatest, that's why they win. But both of these ballparks are small ballparks.
They're both small, exactly.
Small.
I agree.
Yeah, that work for, like, these lineups.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, no, you know, no, Philly's weakness is their defense, but. You know, it's not that this series is in Dodger Stadium or some
mm-hmm.
more cavernous ballpark where that could be exposed. They're on these short porch, you know, things. So, you know, yeah, whoever wins this will probably win the series. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, Verlander, just postseason hasn't been his friend. I think he has the worst ERA of like any starter with maybe it was 60 innings. I can't remember the exact number of innings. In the World Series, and you know, if you remember as the Nats fan, he lost Game 2 and Game 6,
yep.
And the Astros could have won the series in Game 6, and I looked it up in 2017 when he pitched against the Dodgers, he lost Game 2 and Game 6, and you know, the Astros could have won that series, so he doesn't really have a great World Series track record. Maybe tonight he reaches, you know, and even so far in his start, I mean, you know, he's already a pretty high pitch count. It looks like SC's going 5 or 6, you know, so yeah.
Which
we'll
is,
see.
Yeah, which is good. It forces his hand, to be honest with you. I think he kind of needs to get him out. In your opinion, just from what you've been watching so far, who has the edge in the series?
I like Philly. I mean, I don't know why. It's. I mean, on paper, it should be the Astros. The Astros are a better team. Their bullpen, obviously, as you said, is better. It just seems like the Philly bats, they're just hot. And they have, you know, when you look at that lineup and – you know, Schwarber and Harper and Castellanos and like Hoskins. But it's a pretty good lineup, like 1-6. And they also just seem to have, they're just hot. I mean, you watch enough baseball, you can tell when a lineup is hot.
Yeah.
And I know they weren't hot last night with no hitter, but over the larger sample size of the postseason, they've been pretty hot. And they seem to have just enough pitching. You know, if they win tonight, Wheeler will pitch game 6 in Houston. And his last outing wasn't great, but he was great. He's been great in every other outing this postseason. So I give the slight edge to the Phillies. And also, there's just something about the Astros. You know, they've been to the series a bunch. And, you know, I mean, they should have beaten the Nats, you know, on paper. And they should have beaten the Braves on paper, but they didn't. It just seems like they're not. There's just something about that team. They don't quite get over the hump, especially, you know, after that cheating scandal and all that. And also you have I love Dusty. I have no ill will towards Dusty, but you know, he sort of has that rap too. He's never, you know, he was the manager of the Steve Bartman game and he could have won the World Series in 2002. And he had a 5-run lead. And I think the 6th or 7th inning, and just needed like 9 more outs with a 5-run lead to win the World Series, and couldn't do it. And he's had a lot of rough games as a manager too. So with all that being said, I'd pick Philly if you made me pick, but there's no shocker either. I mean, you know, either of these teams could win. It seems like a pretty even matchup.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's great stories. If you're a local Nats fan, there's great stories here. You know what I'm saying? For me as an Oriole fan, like there's a great story. I like I mean, Trey Mancini. Like, I would love to have for him to have a to get a championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's good stories everywhere. If you're a Nats fan, you have the Dusty story. You have the Wright story. There's so many. I mean, like you said, Kyle Schorber was here for a little bit, but to me, I think he made his impact while he was here. So I feel like.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You got guys here. You have guys in this World Series where you kind of are rooting for all around the board. So I'm with you, but. You know, well, I was trying to get you on this show. You posed a good question, a good topic, actually, to be honest with you. You know, the Nats are going through this whole, you know, ownership change. The rumor is that Ted Leonsis is probably going to be able to get the team. And you see what's happening here with the Washington Commanders with the news of Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
Looks like there's a good chance he's selling the team. So how, in your opinion, how did these two things marry each other?
It's going to hurt the Nats. I mean, the Nats are in an interesting spot where if somehow they were able to get an ownership change approved in the next couple months, there would be a possibility that they could try to be somewhat of a player in free agency or, you know, do something. But the way it's looking, it was even before the Commanders news, it was looking like it probably... The ownership, the sale wouldn't take place before free agency really took off. And now with the Commanders on board, and, you know, it's probably like, you know, all the big money that, you know, wants to own a team in D.C., you know, they're probably going to pause and say, hey, could we afford the Commanders? Gotcha. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, when you look at ratings tonight, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love baseball and football, but I guarantee you, you know, we have the Texans playing the Eagles, which is, not the most compelling matchup.
Nobody should be watching that.
Yeah, we have. I guarantee you that's. I guarantee you that's going to get higher. That's going to get higher ratings. Yeah, I do. Than Game 5 of the World Series.
Oh, I doubt it. Nah, yeah, not that game.
I don't know, man. I bet you the NFL. The NFL's king in this country, and so I think because the NFL's king, I do think that, you know, everyone's going to pause and sort of look to see, like, oh, like, you know. What about buying the Commanders? And that might even include Ted Leonsis. I mean, it's just, you know, because of that crazy news yesterday. Yeah. You know, but see, like, you know, we've already heard that, I heard today it's like Jeff Bezos and Jay-Z might make a bid, and like everyone's, like, it wouldn't shock me if Ted Leonsis is, you know, kind of moving along with the Nats, and then maybe he stops and is like, oh, well, like, what about the football team? Because as everyone who's a fan of DC sports knows, if you could get that football team under some competent ownership and maybe change the name one more time, that would be the biggest, that would be like a, you know, huge, huge draw, you know, bigger than the Nats. So it'll be interesting. I do think that in a weird way, Snyder and this whole, the timing of this is actually going to probably make the 2023 Nats season another lame duck season where they don't spend money. And, like, it's just another rebuilding. They're definitely not going to go buy anything in free agency this year with the ownership, in transition. And now with another team in that city up for sale, I bet you, you know, as a Nats fan, I just want the ownership resolved before 2024, you know, to be honest. So I do think it'll affect the Nats.
Astros took the lead with a homer from Pena. They're up 2-1. But, So I thought about this. I thought about Ted Leonsis behind the Washington Commanders. But I also thought, like, you know what? How come he can't have – what if he tries to have all three? Could he do that? Could he afford that? Could he afford all three?
I don't know. There used to be a rule about how many sports teams you could own. That might have changed. Okay. Like, I remember, like, when I was a kid in Atlanta when, like, Ted Turner was like the richest dude in the world or one of them. I think he like tried to buy like every Atlanta team. And at a certain point, like one of the leagues was like, nah, dude, you can only, like, we'll let you have like two or three, but you can't have like four. You know, I don't know. But I don't know what the rules are, but I mean, if someone could buy I don't love the Commanders name. I'm going to call them the football team.
Yeah, cool.
I get you guys. You have to. Yeah, if someone could buy the football team and get that ship moving in the right direction, everyone who's a DC sports fan knows that place would sell out and it would just go back to the way it was. Like, we all know that. So that has to be a really, that is like the, the bell of the ball. Like, you know, that is like the homecoming queen. If you're like some rich guy and you want to buy a team, that's the team, you know, it really is. So, but I don't know if Ted, I don't, Ted to buy all four, I'm not sure. I think the Jeff Bezos, who's got like more money than God, and Jay-Z one, I'm kind of crossing my fingers for that. That seems kind of fun.
The thing about the Jeff Bezos thing is that, one, he would have to sell the Washington Post. Like, I feel like you have to sell the Washington Post. Because there is no way that there's a conflict of interest. There would be. Like, they wouldn't report correctly. You know what I mean? Like we saw this with Snyder, right? When he owned the radio station. So nobody would, like, talk bad about the team. So it's the same thing. Like, but you're controlled in the paper. Like, the same story. So say something bad happens in say something bad happens within the organization, right? Whatever, just like the same type of stuff that happened with Snyder. Are those same Post reporters going to report the same thing? Probably not.
Yeah, no, it's a comp. I mean, it's been funny where since in Snyder's reign, it's been the other way where him and the Post have been at odds like 20 years. Yeah. So like Snyder can't breathe without a four page like super feature about a horrible person. Yeah. It would change. It would flip. It would flip if Bezos owned it and he still owned the Post. Then you know all you would get would be
love stories.
But it's weird. Yeah, but that he probably would have to, but it's weird. I don't know. That's a really super interesting potential scenario, because I do think some part of like DC sports media and DC sports fandom, we all like love to read all these stories about how dysfunctional the teams are. I mean, like for ex Skins Commanders football team report. I mean, literally all of those reporters for 30 years have been writing about how horrible everything
is.
That's like the whole shtick. So it'd be interesting if it changes. It'd be interesting if it changes. Like, you know, it'd be like, you know, if having to learn a new song if you were like a rock musician or something. You know what I mean? It would have to be a completely different tone of coverage. It'd be interesting to see if the media, you know, on the new owner, they go in about how this one. Because sometimes I feel like as a Nats fan, the learners have been treated unfairly, and
they have though. I mean,
and because all of the DC media is so used to covering Snyder in a certain way that it's like, oh, you know, it's like the Nats, or it's like anytime the Nats didn't sign anyone, they tried to make it like it was the Skins, you know, and like how like a circus, and you're like, oh, but like we were like, you know, at the top of the division for almost a decade and won a World Series. It's not quite the same, you know, but anyway, it'll be interesting. Me on to talk about baseball, but
No, you're right. And then the only team that doesn't get that type of flack is the Capitals. The only team that doesn't get that kind of flack is the Capitals. The Capitals are okay every which way. They're okay when they weren't when they weren't winning the championship. Then when they won the championship, then now they got full carte blanche. They can do whatever they need to do. They don't. No one is like, oh man, the Caps are down. Like, oh, they got us a Stanley Cup. We're okay. We can still live off of this for a minute.
Yeah, no, and the Wizards, no one really. They never crushed. We all like know that Ernie Grunfeld being at the GM for like 15 years was a bad idea. But like, no, but they don't get killed every day.
Not at all. No one cares about the Wizards that extremely. No one cares about the Wizards. People care. Yeah. I would argue to say, well, the Nets coming to town, but I would argue to say, like, obviously, like, the Commanders, Redskins, they are like the team in this area, right? But I would argue to say, like, the Capitals are like the second team, and no one has really blasted the Capitals. I was like going, like, that Capitals parade was insane. Like, it was insane. Like, it was crazy. Like, and even going to Caps games, period, without them winning a Stanley Cup or whatever, like, that fan base is rabid. Like, it is like the Capitals, and it's been like that ever since I was a kid. Like, so it's consistent. It's always been consistent. So, but to your point, they don't get that ownership crap though. Like, they don't get the same. They don't get that type of chaos. You know what I mean? That type of chaos. So, to your point, like,
I hope Ted buys the Nats, to be honest, because it's the one. I know that some people don't, but I do, because he always spent. I mean, he gave Bradley Beal $250 million. I mean, he's a fine player, but he's certainly not. You know, it's like if the Nats just had an owner that would spend up to the salary cap and then every so often give a star a mega deal. Like, especially with baseball having 14 playoff teams now, I mean, that probably means the Nats are in the playoffs almost every year, like the Caps. And, the difference in, as we're watching the World Series, Philly was like one of the last, they were just, Philly would have even been in the playoffs last year, you know, like they got in, it's the seventh seed or whatever, you know,
I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely like I you know, just baseball is a little easier. Just spend some money and you probably can make the playoffs. Yeah. You know,
and then you have good management, good managers, and people who run your bullpen. There's so much into baseball.
Yes.
That's one thing about baseball is that you're right. You spend some money, you can make yourself a postseason team, but also, man, good management can get you so far. I'm just a firm believer in that. I saw that with Buck Mark. The reason I saw that with Buck Showalter in Baltimore, I was like, that's when I knew, like, that's what good managers do. Like, you can have, compared to the Red Sox, the Yankees, I'm just using my team for example, the Red Sox, Yankees, whose payroll is insane, and all you got to do is develop a few guys, and them, you know, they show out, but if you can manage your team correctly, man, insane what you can do if you're a good manager. But hey, Kev, man, it's great having you on. Before I let you go, make sure you tell our folks how they can follow you on Twitter and how they can catch your content and how I can listen to your, you know, I know you still do the Talking Nats podcast, right? Do you still do it?
Wait,
do you do it or not? I want to make sure.
I haven't done a podcast in a while. Okay. I do your podcast. Maybe we'll bring it back. I don't know.
You're my guy.
But yeah, no. So anyway, I'm at K_Nibley on Twitter. A lot of baseball tweets and among other things. And then, Talk Nats. It's at Talk Nats on Twitter. And then it's just talknats.com. And it's a great community for Nats fans. And it's really in depth. I mean, you know, no knocks on like your traditional media, but Talk Nats is where you go when you want like a little deeper dives on prospects. You want like a little bit more of a nerdy baseball conversation. It's a great place for that. And also a great community. You see kind of the same posters more or less every day. I've like gone to games, like made, like said hi to dudes, like, you know,
that's
talk
awesome.
To on that, you know,
that's
it's
awesome.
Just like,
that's good. I like
great community. So definitely check it out. And it's a very welcoming community. So awesome. We welcome new people there for sure.
I love it. All right, I'm gonna ask you a quick Nats question then. So,
yeah.
How far do you think it'll take the Nats to get to the situation, to the World Series, like, you know, for this new crop of Nats?
I'm putting down my playoff deposit for this 2023 is going to be not good. It'll be better than last year. They'll win more than 55 games. My guess, like, next year, they'll still probably be bad because the ownership's in flux. But I'm hoping, like, if they won 70 next year, I'd be fine with that. Okay. That'd be, like, great. I think 2024 is when it's going to start to happen. At that point, they'll have a new owner, and then there'll be some, you know, at that point, you hope guys like Ruiz and CJ Abrams, who are already on the team, they're like starting to become stars. You hope guys like some of the pitching, like Gray and Cade Cavalli, and obviously Mackenzie Gore, who we got from San Diego. At that point, you're hoping those guys, or they may not be ones, but you're hoping they're like solid mid-rotation guys. And at that point too, Corbin's going to be off the books. Okay. And, you know, if you have Uncle Ted, if you got a new owner and he wants to spend, by like 24, if you buy a starting pitcher and maybe one or two like big bats, then that's like a playoff team. And then I think, you know, the future starts getting really bright because, I mean, they got Robert Hassel from San Diego and James Wood, who are like really high end, outfield prospects with high ceilings. And then also they drafted Elijah Green. You know, you could have a potentially like devastatingly scary outfield in terms of hitting by like 25, somewhere in there. I think the future's bright, you know, and they obviously were the worst team in baseball this year. They'll be a draft lottery, but they won't pick any lower than six and they have a chance at one. And it probably won't be good next year either. So, you know, between the draft picks, some of the prospects they got back for Soto, and the fact that there are really only two guys on the team making money, Strasburg and Corbin, and Corbin only has two more years left, I think the Nats window is going to be pretty big and pretty exciting. 25 for sure. If they're not good by 25, I'll be depressed. But I think they'll start to be good by 24. I think But I wouldn't expect much now. I think next year is going to be another clunker for sure. Yeah.
All right. Don't be depressed, man. I don't need you depressed. I like you too much. Hey, Kev, hey, thanks for being on, man. Appreciate you, my man.
All right. Thanks, Wally. Thanks always for having me. Appreciate it.
Anytime, man. All right, cool. Again, that is Kevin Nibley from Talk Nats. And you can find Kev on Twitter at K_Nibley. And Talk Nats is at Talk Nats. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media, at AmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire shows as well as other great content. Hey, I appreciate you all for tuning into the show. This has been a dope show. I appreciate Karita Parks. I appreciate Kevin Nibley for being on. They were dope. They helped us do the darn thing. Another banger. Wish the homies Will T and Ray Jeezy were here, but they weren't. But I appreciate Karita and Kev for holding down with me. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Say for ages, yiddy deuces, a mega. Do me a favor, bruh. What? Lead us out, big homie.